Matthew chapter 1, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. Matthew tells us that wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose. The star is again mentioned in verse 9. When they, the wise men, heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them. Behold the star. When the wise men saw the star, what did they see? Did they see an actual star? What we see when we look into the sky on a clear night? The identity of the star of Bethlehem has been the subject of much discussion and debate, as you probably are aware. The editors of Lexham Bible Dictionary write, Some scholars have argued that the star was an unprecedented astronomical event, such as a supernova, comet, or a spectacular alignment of the planets. Others have argued that Matthew's depiction of the star is not congruent with an astrological or astronomical event. It moves before the wise men, disappears for a while, and then directs them by stopping over the very house where Jesus is located. No object that high in the sky could possibly move in this manner or point out a singular house with such precision. The editors of the ESV Study Bible concur. They write, The movement of the star suggests that it is not a natural phenomenon, such as a comet, supernova, or conjunction of planets, but was supernatural. Perhaps a guiding angel that appeared as a star, or perhaps some specially created heavenly phenomenon that had the brightness of a star. Well, yet another possibility is that the star was the Shekinah glory of God. In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, Louis Barbier writes, Stars, that is, planets, naturally travel from east to west across the heavens, not from north to south. Could it be that the star which the Magi saw and which led them to a specific house was the Shekinah glory of God? That same glory had led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years as a pillar of fire and cloud. Perhaps this was what they saw in the east, and for want of a better term, they called it a star. All other efforts to explain this star are inadequate, such as a conjunction of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, a supernova, a comet, etc. Well, from what I've just shared, it is evident that scholars are not in agreement concerning the identity of the star. And perhaps they never will be this side of glory. Now, while we may not be able to be dogmatic about the identity of the star, we can know with certainty that it was of God. It was no mere happenstance that a star appeared to the wise men and directed them to Bethlehem. This morning we are going to behold the star. And as we do so, we want to begin by considering when the star appeared. The star actually appeared a couple of times, as we have seen. To start with then, let's note when the star appeared the first time. We have seen his star in the east, the wise men announced upon coming to Jerusalem. The star then made its first appearance to the wise men when they were in the east. That is, when they were in their home country. As we noted last Sunday, we don't know with certainty where the wise men were from. We do, however, know that they were from the east. That is, they were from a country located to the east of Jerusalem and Israel. Possibly they were from the area of modern-day Iraq or Iran. In any regard, the wise men who were probably astronomers or astrologers, saw a star. There must have been something unusual or different about the star to have caught the attention of the wise men. Or perhaps they were looking for a particular star based upon the prophecy given by Balaam in Numbers 24:17. A star shall come out of Jacob, out of Israel, Balaam prophesied, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It could be that they were looking for that star, his star, that is the star that would indicate that a king had been born, the king of the Jews, the king who would rise out of Israel, the one to whom the scepter would belong, that is the right to rule. Many years before the wise men came to Jerusalem seeking the one who had been born king of the Jews, and in fact many years before Balaam prophesied about a star coming out of Israel, Jacob had made this prediction: the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Shiloh possibly being another name for the Messiah. All of this is to say that the messianic hope had been around a good long while when the wise men first saw the star in the east. So perhaps they knew of the messianic hope, the coming of a great king. It could be that they were even looking for it and knew that it was connected to a star. We have seen a star in the east, was the declaration of the wise men. They were in the east, in their home country, when the star first appeared. Well, let's turn our attention now to when the star appeared the second time. For a time, the star disappeared, at least it was not visible to the wise men. And this, in a manner of speaking, forced them to go to Jerusalem to inquire about where the king of the Jews had been born. They apparently did not know about the Micah 5:2 prophecy. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. Micah made it clear that Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah. But the wise men did not know that. At least they didn't know that when they arrived in Jerusalem. So they came asking, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Have you ever wondered why God didn't lead the wise men directly to Bethlehem? He certainly could have done so, couldn't he? The one who created the stars and the planets could certainly have kept in place the star the wise men were following right up until they reached Bethlehem. But apparently God wanted them to go to Jerusalem before making their way to Bethlehem. As to why, I'm not totally certain, but here are some thoughts to consider. Through the wise men's visit to Jerusalem, the birth of the King of the Jews was made known to the people in a very public kind of way. In verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard this, when he heard of the coming of the wise men and how they were asking about where the King of the Jews had been born, he was troubled. And note this, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where this Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. What a great way to make known the birth of the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One of God. Word would have spread about the birth of the King. People would have been talking about it. His birth would have been uppermost in their minds. The chief priests and scribes knew that Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The coming of the wise men would have alerted them to the possibility that the birth of Messiah had now taken place. And then two people would have had the opportunity to join the wise men in worshiping the one who had been born King of the Jews. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Fear not, an angel of the Lord told the shepherds, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. What an opportunity the people of Jerusalem and Judea had as a result of the wise men coming to Jerusalem and asking the question they did. Not only Jews, but also Gentiles. The good news of the birth of the Savior was for all people. And what about those who knew God, Simeon and Anna and others, who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem, the Messiah? The coming of the wise men and their search for the one who had been born King of the Jews would have been an encouragement to those who were waiting for him. Indeed, God could have directed the wise men to Bethlehem without stopping in Jerusalem, but in his plan and purpose, he had them go to Jerusalem, thereby making people aware of the fulfillment of Micah 5:2. Sometimes we may wonder about God's leading in our lives. Sometimes God's leading doesn't involve the most direct route, or what we consider to be the most direct route. And we may question what he is doing. How come you didn't send me direct to Bethlehem? How come you led me around this way? What's going on? But we need to be willing to rest on the certainty that God indeed knows what he is doing. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And indeed, he will do just that. Furthermore, God will not forsake us. Even when we can't see his hand at work, we can rest assured that he is working and that he knows what he is doing. When then did the star appear? Well, it appeared the first time when the wise men were in their own country. It appeared a second time when they departed from Jerusalem for Bethlehem. Now let's note who the star appeared to. As we've already noted, the star appeared to a group of men, commonly known as the wise men or the magi. As we think of the star appearing to the wise men, let's consider, first of all, that the star appeared to men who were willing to leave their home for an unknown destination. Were the wise men together when they saw the star? If not, how then did they get together? Did they first meet and discuss whether or not they would go? Or were they all on the same page from the get-go? Well, again, we have more questions than answers, don't we? But this we know, in deciding to follow the star, the wise men would leave their home for an unknown destination. They didn't know with certainty where they were going or where they would end up. Furthermore, they didn't know what they would encounter along the way. They didn't know how far they would have to go or how long they would be gone. In this regard, they had something in common with Abraham. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Could it be that the wise men like Abraham were men of faith? Could it be that by faith they went out not knowing where they were going, but knowing that God was directing them, that God was leading them? Could it be that they knew the true God and trusted him to lead them and take care of them? That sure seems to be a possibility, doesn't it? And then we should note here that the star appeared to men who were willing to look diligently for the one who had been born King of the Jews. Not only were they willing to leave, but they were willing to look. In those days, those who were east of Israel, those who lived in Babylon and other eastern cities and countries, where the wise men were from, somewhere back there, they didn't travel the direct route to Jerusalem. They didn't go from east to west in a straight line. Instead, they first went north and looked around what was known as the Fertile Crescent. Then they came down into Israel from the north. And this entailed a journey of some 800 miles. If they had averaged 20 miles a day, then by the time they arrived in Jerusalem, they would have been on the road for some 40 days. And they didn't stay at Holiday Inns every night. It would have been a long and arduous journey, perhaps even dangerous. How far would we have been willing to go before deciding to turn back? Well, the wise men didn't turn back. They kept going mile after mile, day after day. To their credit, they didn't stop until they found the one they were seeking. The star then appeared to men who were willing to leave their home for an unknown destination and who were willing to look diligently for the one who had been born king of the Jews. Well, let's now turn our attention to how the star appeared. As we consider how the star appeared, we can, first of all, I believe, conclude that the star appeared suddenly. In verse 9, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them. The wise men departed from Herod, and behold, the star appeared. It would seem that it appeared suddenly. One moment it wasn't there, and the next moment there it was, leading them to the house where the Christ child was. Could it be that this is how the star first appeared to the wise men? As we have already noted, we don't know what the situation was when the wise men first saw the star. They may or may not have been looking for a special or unique star, but regardless, the star in all likelihood appeared suddenly. The star's sudden appearance would have gotten the attention of the wise men if they indeed were men who studied the stars, and anything unusual in the night sky would have been noticed by them. Have you noticed that God at times is a God of suddenlies? It may appear as if God is not working, and then suddenly the working of God becomes abundantly evident. The period of time between the completion of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament is known as the 400 silent years. For some 400 years, there was no new revelation from God. Kings and kingdoms came and went. The time moved on, as it has a way of doing. Then suddenly, an angel appeared to a priest by the name of Zacharias, announcing the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. And shortly thereafter, the birth of the Messiah was made known to a young Jewish woman by the name of Miriam, or as we know her, Mary. After 400 years, God had, as it were, reappeared on the scene. Although, in fact, he had never really left. He had never stopped working, even though that might have appeared to be the case. Almost from the very beginning of the church, believers have been looking for the coming of Christ. We know that his return for his church is imminent, can happen at any moment. But the days and months and years continue to roll along as we await his coming. Even though that is the case, we can rest assured, as Paul says, that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. And it will happen suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. Well, at times God is indeed a God of suddenlies. And knowing this, we should prepare accordingly. Concerning the coming of the Lord, we should be waiting and watching. How then did the star appear? Well, we note first of all that it appeared suddenly. And then too, the star appeared silently. By this I mean there was no grand announcement of the star's appearance when the wise men left Herod. And there probably wasn't any grand announcement the first time either. There was no sounding of trumpets. There was no pomp and circumstance. Men tend to be into great and grand announcements, but God not so much. When it came time to announce the birth of Christ, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And the virgin's name was Mary. God didn't send the angel Gabriel to Herod's palace to announce the birth of Christ to the king. Nor did he send Gabriel to the house of the high priest to announce the birth to the religious leader of the people. The announcement was made to a Jewish peasant woman living in a village that was considered of little significance by many. No grand and glorious announcement, no pomp and circumstance, no rolling out the red carpet and all these other things that sometimes take place. And so it was concerning the appearance of the star. At times, God not only works suddenly, but also silently. Well, finally, let's consider why the star appeared. And we want to take note of the fact that the star appeared, to begin with, to provide help in locating the one who had been born King of the Jews. When the star first appeared, the wise men were directed to leave their home in the east and go to Israel. In Jerusalem, they learned from Herod that the birthplace of the king they were seeking was the village of Bethlehem. In verse 8, Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem, and he had learned this from the chief priests and the scribes. And he said, "Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also." He sent them to Bethlehem, having learned where the birthplace of the Christ would be. Finding the one who had been born King of the Jews was simply a matter of going to Bethlehem. You would think that there would no longer be any need for the star to appear. But notice what the star did. Verse 9, "The star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was." That was better than having GPS. All the wise men had to do was to follow the star, and they would end up at the very house where Mary and her son were. They wouldn't need to knock on doors. They wouldn't need to go around asking, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" They wouldn't need to return to Jerusalem and ask for further directions and details. Involved in this, as we're going to see in our final behold at the end of the month, I think was that time was of the essence because of what Herod was going to do. And so by bringing them to the very house where Christ was, it saved quite a bit of time. And that was important for the safety of the Christ child. And we'll look at that later in the month, Lord willing. Well, sometimes we need further directions and details in order to find a certain place or person, don't we? In the Old Testament, Joseph did. According to Genesis 37:13, Jacob said to his son Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." And he said to him, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring me word." So he sent him from the valley of Kibroon, and he came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields. Sounds like what I would be doing if I was sent to someplace. Be wandering in the fields. And the man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are, pasturing the flock." The man said, "They have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. Like Joseph, the wise men may have found themselves wandering around for a time, seeking to find where the Christ child was, even after making it to Bethlehem. But that didn't happen because the star led them to the exact right place. Notice in the end of verse 9 that the star stood over where the young child was. Verse 11, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. Upon leaving Herod, the wise men didn't have any problem finding the one who had been born king of the Jews. I think one of the lessons that we can take away from the story of the star and the wise men is that God makes it possible to find his son to those who are genuinely seeking him. The greatest and surest roadmap to finding God's son is the word of God. God makes it clear in his word what a person needs to do in order to know his son and have eternal life. As Paul states in Romans 10, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. God used his word and a star to direct the wise men to his son. He used his word to provide guidance that the shepherds needed in order to find his son. Through an angel they received this word from God. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. After receiving the message from the Lord, the shepherd said, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. God makes it possible for those who are sincerely seeking his son to find him. The star appeared to provide help in finding the one who had been born king of the Jews. I believe also the star appeared to provide hope and encouragement for the wise men. Notice in verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The appearance of the star would have erased any doubt the wise men might have had in finding the king of the Jews. God is good in providing hope and encouragement, and he is good at providing hope and encouragement. And more often than not, he does it through his word, either through what we read in his word or through someone sharing his word with us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so also does encouragement and help and hope. Behold the star. What do we see when we behold the star? Well, for one thing, we see the greatness of God. God doing what only he can do. We also see the grace of God. God making it possible for men to find his son and worship him. Then, too, we see the goodness of God. How good God is. First of all, in sending his son into the world, and then in sending people to seek his son, and then finding him. Aren't you glad that God made it possible for you to find his son? Indeed, the story of the star is a story of God's greatness, his grace, and his goodness. And I would encourage all of us in these days to behold the star and allow ourselves to be caught up in the greatness and goodness and grace of God, and to marvel not only in the Christmas story, but also in your story and in the stories of others that you know. The wonder of the Star of Bethlehem is not its brightness and glory, however much or little that may have been, but the glory of one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.